Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday morning in the week of Easter. Happy Easter Tuesday, April 6, 2021. Hope you're well. We have a great lineup for you this morning. But first, I want to thank you for the prayers and share a bit of personal good news. Yesterday, we had the newest member of our family coming into the world. Her name is Danica Annette, and she's the baby sister of the twins, the identical twins, Francesca and Liliana. You hear me talk about so often and post pictures on Facebook of the two of them, and their hits on Facebook. Everybody always responds. So it was a very, very big day, obviously, in our family. And as a matter of fact, the baby was born during the show yesterday. And Deacon Dom, because I do my show from home, in my home studio, comes walking into my office and is showing me all the pictures of the baby. And I'm trying to maintain my my on-air presence while I'm looking at this beautiful, gorgeous baby girl. And again, she was almost 9 pounds, 8 pounds, 11 ounces. Now, really, it's something to think about. If you remember years ago when I was talking about the twins, what miracles, I mean, every baby is a miracle, but in their case, they were preemies. They were born several months early, and they were just about at 3 pounds. So their weight combined, the both of them combined, don't even weigh as much as this little baby girl does. But everyone's fine. Thanks be to God. So appreciate your prayers. And my godson, Andrew, and his beautiful wife, our beautiful niece, Erica, congratulations. Baby girl number 3, Danica Annette. And yes, I will be posting pictures very soon. You can bet. We are a proud great auntie and great uncle, Aunt Tree Tree and Uncle Dommy, as the twins refer to us. Okay, so moving on to the show today. 2 cents. I want to talk about some of the things that Vanessa and I are going to be mentioning. And there's so much to cover, I don't think we're going to be able to cover it in our media section in the news, Vanessa Denhagarmo and myself. But I want to talk about all of this stuff that's going on now with the wokeness and how many of these companies are trying to force particular agendas down our throats. And what's happening now with the latest situation in Georgia is that it's backfiring. Now, some people are claiming that the laws passed in Georgia regarding the election are discriminatory, which is simply not true. And even the very liberal Washington Post gave several Pinocchios last week to Joe Biden for blatant lies he was telling about this law, claiming that people are going to die of dehydration while standing on the line as voting lines, as if to say that they can't bring their own water. In that one particular situation, what the law says is that if you're a political group, if you're there trying to pass out information about elections and trying to give people water, you can't do that. Other volunteer groups can hand out water as long as it's not associated with a political spin or, let's see, a particular piece of agenda. You can bring water. And also, this is actually much more open than election laws in extremely liberal states such as New York. So these are the kinds of stories that you're not going to hear in the secular media. Just as many years ago, you heard about children in cages during the Trump administration. Now, those quote-unquote containers or the cages were actually built under the Biden-Obama administration, and now they're being used again under this administration. And there's some pushback, but you don't see the same amount of outrage as you did under President Trump. And President Trump didn't even develop those cages, but they accused him. The media made it sound like he was the one putting kids in cages, and now we see what's happening at the border. So there's several stories we're going to be talking about, but this whole thing of wokeness is backfiring because the majority of the businesses in the city of Atlanta are owned by minorities. So they're saying the vote is discriminatory, this vote legislation, this piece of legislation about voting is discriminatory, and then they're moving businesses out, such as the Major League Baseball, right? They're moving that game out. And yet at the same time, they're hurting these businesses that are in the state of Georgia and the city of Atlanta, which is, I think, over 51% African American. Not to mention the hypocrisy, for example, of CBS and CBS News. We're going to talk about the way they're treating DeSantis, but also with this story regarding the Masters. They're criticizing the Masters on the one end, and yet CBS is hosting the Masters at the same time. So they're literally talking out of both sides of their mouth. But see, unless you're listening to alternate media, you're not going to hear these stories. And people are getting fed so much fake news. It's just off the charts. And the story about DeSantis is really bad. All of a sudden, 60 Minutes has gone dark and gone silent, and CBS is suddenly distancing itself from 60 Minutes because they did get clobbered for deceptive editing when the 60 Minutes reporter was interviewing DeSantis recently and the hit job they did on him in one of their recent broadcasts. So we'll talk a little bit more in detail about this during Two Cents and a few other stories that are coming up in terms of really understanding what's happening in our culture, not keeping our head in the sand, but understanding how a very, very small group of people are trying to control everything, including the way we think. And even when they're selling something as shampoo, as simple as shampoo, just tell me what your shampoo does. Don't tell me how you feel about this, that, or the other thing. I really don't care. I just want to see what's in your product. We are so far gone away from that right now. It's just off the charts. And we need to be speaking up and we need to be aware. And this is important from a Christian perspective because we need truth. We're supposed to be all about the truth, right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Catholic Church has a fullness of truth. But we're getting anything but the truth if we're following the MSM and believing all the lies that they're trying to tell us. So we'll talk about that in Two Cents and also with Vanessa Denha-Garmo. And then, speaking of some other issues that you're not hearing a lot about, in terms of COVID-19, how many stories have you seen regarding children and suicide and suicidal attempts? Well, Dr. Meg Meeker, noted pediatrician, author, and speaker, is going to be joining us. She has been really raising the alarm bells since this whole situation with COVID began and the problems with the isolation and how the so-called cures are worse than the actual virus in many cases, especially when it comes to isolation of children, that children need socialization and the impact this is having on education, or lack thereof, shall we say. So she's going to talk to us about her concerns and also get her take on what's happening with pressure to take the vaccine. People should be able to make their own decisions if they want to take it, if they think they feel it's necessary, if they have pre-existing conditions, if they want to be more cautious, then they have the right to go ahead and get this vaccine, just as with other vaccines and medications that are available. If they don't want to take it, they should be free to make that decision as well and then realize, you know, okay, if I'm going into a situation, I need to be careful. They can make their own decisions. We're adults. And whatever happened to my body, my choice? Isn't that interesting? It's all about my body, my choice when it comes to abortion, but when you want to make up your own mind on something such as a vaccine, oh no, can't do that. We have to tell you how to live. So there's a lot going on that we have to be aware of, and we need to wake up and make sure that we are fully informed. So much to talk about this morning. And then after Dr. Meg Meeker, we're going to check in with our friend Maureen Ferguson from the Catholic Association on a number of different issues that we're facing within the church. So that is a rundown for today on a Tuesday, 8 minutes past the hour. Don't forget, we have our membership drive, which starts on Monday. And I believe that is April 12th. And we'll be here talking about Catholic radio and asking you for your prayers and your support, your financial support as well. If you can do that, we greatly appreciate it. All the information at AveMariaRadio.net, all the information as well about our upcoming virtual conference, which Ave Maria Radio is also sponsoring, based on my new book, Listening for God, Discovering the Incredible Ways God Speaks to Us Every Single Day. He speaks to us in many different ways. All right, so can you believe this weather that we're going to have this week? Today, we are actually going to be going up to, well, depending on, you know, what your weather source is, anywhere from 78 to 81 degrees. I kid you not. Right now, it's 42, and let's see, we are looking at partly cloudy skies, a high of 78. Tomorrow, full sunshine, 78 degrees. Warm again on Thursday, 71, partly cloudy, and then some rain expected. More of the same for Friday, just a tad bit cooler. About 70 degrees on Friday, 70 degrees on Saturday, 61 on Sunday and partly cloudy. And then next week, more normal temperatures, partly cloudy on Monday, the 12th, 67 degrees. Tuesday on the 13th, comfortable, cloudy, 55, and then looking in the 50s next week. But these next couple of days through the weekend are going to be unseasonably warm, 78 today, 78 tomorrow, 71 on Thursday. So get out there and enjoy it, all right? And let's see what the national weather forecast has in store for those of you who are listening outside of the southeastern Michigan area, and we know many of you do. Severe thunderstorms are possible over portions of the Central Plains, and the threat will move to the lower Mississippi Valley on Wednesday. Elevated to critical fire weather conditions are forecast over portions of the southern High Plains and southern Rockies. So much of the country in terms of the Midwest and the East Coast and the Northeast looks pretty good, but you're getting, as you just heard, some of those storm systems developing out west. All right, already 8:10, a lot of news to get through, as you can imagine. Vanessa Denha-Garmo coming up in the bottom of the hour to talk about with yours truly in the news, all the news that's frequently fit to twist, and they certainly do, but we don't. Here you go. At the Regina Celli on Easter Monday, as Vatican Radio's Francesca Merlo reports, the Pope speaks of the angel's appearance and the proclamation of Christ's resurrection, noting that in finding the risen Christ, we discover peace of heart.
Only an angel could say that Jesus had risen, said the Pope, addressing the faithful gathered across the world for the recitation of the Regina Celli. Just as only an angel had been able to say to Mary, you will conceive a son, and he will be called the Son of the Most High.
Evangelista Matteo narra che in quell'alba di Pasqua vi fu un gran terremoto.
The Pope noted that Matthew the Evangelist narrates that on Easter morning there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. The image of the angel sitting on the stone before the tomb is a concrete visible manifestation of God's victory over evil, of Christ's victory over the prince of this world, of light over darkness. Jesus' tomb was not opened by a physical phenomenon, but by the Lord's intervention, said the Pope.
E di fronte a questo intervento di Dio avviene una doppia reazione.
There is a twofold reaction in beholding this intervention on God's part, said Pope Francis. The first is that of the guards, who cannot face the overwhelming power of God and are shaken by an interior earthquake. They became like dead men. The power of the resurrection overthrows those who had been used to guarantee the apparent victory of death, which the Pope described as being very different because they are expressly invited by the angel of the Lord not to be afraid and not to seek Jesus in the tomb.
Dalle parole dell'angelo possiamo raccogliere un prezioso insegnamento.
Pope Francis then went on to note that we can reap a precious teaching from the angel's words. We should never tire of seeking the risen Christ who gives life in abundance to those who meet him, he said. He explained that to find Christ means to discover peace of heart.
And the Vatican Secretary of State, meanwhile, saying in an interview this week that euthanasia and abortion laws in Europe represent not only a loss of faith, but a major loss of reason. According to the Catholic news agency, Cardinal Pietro Parolin saying in an interview with the Spanish network that was published yesterday that he is very sorry for the loss of faith in Europe, in our culture, in our countries, and these anthropological changes that are taking place, losing the identity of the human person before a loss of faith, I would say that is a loss of reason. He also says the question of abortion is not a religious one. It is certainly also for us Christians from the beginning, from the first documents of the Church, a total rejection of abortion, but it is an argument of reason. Likely today, as Benedict XVI was saying, the fundamental problem is reason, not faith. Parolin saying the Church's response to these societal changes should be to offer a coherent and convincing witness of the Christian life. A new law in the state of Ohio regarding the handling of fetal remains after an abortion was set to go into effect today, but a Hamilton County judge putting the brakes on it. The law passed and was signed in December, calling for the remains of aborted babies to be buried or cremated following a surgical abortion. An order by Common Pleas Judge Allison Hathaway has put a temporary hold on the measure going into effect, calling on the Ohio Department of Health to first write rules for the law so that abortion providers know they have to do to comply. The law would then take hold 30 days after those guidelines are developed. An attorney for George Floyd's family says it's up to Derek Chauvin's defense team to decide whether the former Minneapolis cop will testify during his trial. Mark Mayfield has more.
Chauvin is accused of killing Floyd during an arrest last year. Benjamin Crump says there's nothing that Chauvin can say to make up for the lack of humanity afforded to Floyd. During the trial on Monday, the Minneapolis police chief testified that Chauvin absolutely violated department policies during the arrest.
Meanwhile, jurors in that murder trial will be back in court this morning for day number 7. Yesterday, again, they heard from the top cop in Minneapolis. Mitch McConnell is warning corporate America to stay in its own lane when it comes to the hotly contested debate on the new voting law in Georgia. The Senate minority leader saying yesterday corporate CEOs should stay out of politics as he defended the voting law.
it is easier to vote in Georgia after the new law than it is in Delaware now, the president's home state.
He elaborated by saying companies will, quote, invite serious consequences if they become a vehicle for far-left mobs. Meanwhile, a new poll shows fewer than 4 in 10 Americans support moving the Major League Baseball All-Star Game out of Atlanta over Georgia's new voting measure. The Morning Consult poll out today showing less than 40% of people surveyed say they support moving the game. Meanwhile, opponents of the Major League Baseball decision to move the All-Star Game could end up hurting, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, African-American residents rather than helping them. They note the move will deal an economic blow to Atlanta, a big one, which is 51% black, and provide a boost to Colorado's capital where the game's being moved. That's only 9% black, and according to U.S. Census figures. The Midsummer Classic was set for July 13th, the home of the Atlanta Braves, until the Major League Baseball decided last week to change its location. And then they announced yesterday the game will now be played at Coors Field, home of the Colorado Rockies. Nearly 30% of all businesses in Atlanta are black-owned. That's according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. The legislation places new restrictions on voting by mail, adds voter ID requirements, and limits ballot drop boxes, also mandating 2 Saturdays of early voting ahead of general elections. That's an increase from just 1, and leaves 2 Sundays as optional. In addition, the legislation bans outside political groups from handing out food or water to those waiting in line to vote. The governor of Texas is blaming Major League Baseball for why he did not throw out that first pitch at the Rangers' home opener yesterday. Greg Abbott doesn't agree with the summer's All-Star Game being moved and refused to participate in any event held by the Major League Baseball organization. Rory O'Neill tells us fear of catching the coronavirus falling to a record low in the U.S.
Just over a third of Americans live in fear of contracting the coronavirus. That's down from 49% and the lowest since Gallup first asked the question 1 year ago. The number is likely dropping as the vaccine rollout expands. 64% of Americans say COVID is still disrupting their lives, either a great deal or a fair amount. On the plus side, almost 8 in 10 Americans say the situation is improving.
Customs and Border Protection officials say the immigrant surge numbers this year so far are record-breaking. More than 170,000 illegal immigrants stopped at the border last month. Of that, 18,000 were children without their parents. Meanwhile, the head of the Border Patrol Agents Union says their members are frustrated by what they see as a lack of consequences for crossing the border illegally. Brandon Judd says they're calling for more judges to be stationed at the border.
If we were to set up courts to adjudicate these cases, then we would give relief to those individuals that deserve relief.
At the same time, he said it would weed out the bad actors. Border Patrol agents say they expect to encounter or apprehend over 2 million migrants in this fiscal year alone. Brian Shook tells us a Supreme Court justice suggesting Congress should update laws to better regulate social media platforms.
Clarence Thomas said Monday that platforms such as Twitter, Facebook, and Google have unbridled control over speech. The written concurrent opinion came with the court's decision to dismiss a case concerning Donald Trump's use of Twitter while he was the president. No other justices joined in the conservative Thomas's opinion. Previously, Thomas showed support for Trump and other Republicans who refused to accept the results of the 2020 presidential election.
Israel's president is picking Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to try and form a new government. President Reuven Rivlin saying today that no candidate has a real chance of forming a new government, but Netanyahu has the most endorsements from other parties. Israelis voted last month in the Jewish state's 4th inconclusive election in 2 years. Netanyahu's critics say he has no business serving as prime minister while he's being tried on corruption charges. Jennifer Polsoni tells us that infamous movie mogul Harvey Weinstein is fighting his rape conviction.
Harvey Weinstein appealing his rape and sexual abuse convictions and asking for a retrial. His lawyers filing a motion saying a number of things stop Weinstein from having a fair trial, including a biased judge and biased juror. They claim that one of the jurors denied writing a book about predatory old men and young women. But lawyers also claim the judge tainted the trial by allowing people to testify about prior bad acts which were unrelated to the charges. The former Hollywood mogul serving a 23-year prison sentence in New York. However, he'll still face additional charges in L.A.
8:19, and finally in our news segment on your Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection, April 6, 2021, taxpayers who take the standard deduction over itemizing are eligible for a $300 case deduction thanks to the CARES Act. CPA Ray Ciccone is saying it will lower both adjusted gross income and taxable income, equaling a tax savings for folks making donations to tax-exempt organizations.
If you take a couple thousand, you could take 300 and deduct it there. Then you take the 1,700 and throw it over in your itemized deductions. And if it comes to more than 24,000, then you can get a deduction for that as well.
The IRS reporting almost 9 out of 10 taxpayers do take the standard deduction and could qualify. Cash donations include those made by check, credit card, or debit card as well. 8:20 on a very, very warm Tuesday morning in Michigan, and pretty nice across most of the country. In southeastern Michigan, we are going all the way up to the upper 70s today, depending on which weather forecaster you listen to. Some are saying 75, some are saying 78, some are saying 81 degrees. Well, who cares? Anything above freezing is good for us in Michigan at this time of year. We'll take it. We'll be right back on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection and some of the stories we're going to be previewing for you in our In the News segment with Vanessa Denha-Garmo coming up right after the second break at the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned.
If Easter's taught us anything, it's taught us these four things. One, betrayal can come from those we love and trust the most. Two, others will not believe your marriage can be saved. Thirdly, marriage takes sacrifice, forgiveness, and faith. And finally, we all need a Savior. Retrovi's been helping to save marriages for 44 years and can help yours too, even if it's on the brink of a breakup. We've done it many times before. Visit us at helpourmarriage.org. That's helpourmarriage.org. Rediscover your love.
Welcome to Educating for Eternity. Catholic education is the only education that helps form the person to understand his sublime dignity and the eternal joy that awaits him. Here is Father Gabriel Richard High School Principal Christopher Dotson.
St. Augustine profoundly stated, "The truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Let it loose, it will defend itself." The tradition of Catholic education is to continuously seek out truth, to proclaim it, and to share it with others. Catholic education cultivates in each student a sense of awe in response to the beauty of truth. This tradition is why our scholars rise above the rest in their pursuit of academic excellence and in their formation of the whole person.
Educating for Eternity is presented by the faculty of Father Gabriel Richard High School. Learn more about the intellectual and spiritual benefits of a Father Gabriel Richard High School education at fgrhs.org. That's fgrhs.org.
Are you feeling sad, isolated, lonely, or even down? Do you need someone to talk to and you just don't know where to go? Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan wants to help you. Introducing their 40 Lines for Lenten program. This Lent, their Catholic Charities behavioral health professionals want to give 40 listeners 10 counseling sessions for free. Don't let transportation, lack of insurance, or even the inability to pay to stop you from talking to someone. They're here for you. Visit ccsem.org. That's ccsem.org to get started.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection, 8:23 on a warm Tuesday morning in Michigan. We're going to have some thunderstorms in other parts of the country. So I've been a victim of it, Al Cresta recently a victim of it, and it's called deceptive editing. And what they do is they do an interview with you, and then they take bits and pieces and either splice up your words, and we use the old-fashioned word splice, you understand what we mean. They move around your statements, or they juxtapose a short clip of your answer to make it seem like you are endorsing what they're saying. This is what happened to Al in a recent story on which he was interviewed regarding the CDF, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith's response to the question, the dubium, about same-sex blessing or blessings for same-sex couples. So Al gave a wonderful 10-minute interview with one of our local stations and talked about the beauty of church teaching and how the CDF was affirming church teaching and that this was nothing new, and that generally someone who knows their faith should not be surprised. So what the reporter did, if you watch the piece that ran, it was all B-roll images of so-called same-sex marriages, and they used a person who was a fallen-away Catholic and someone who has a real issue with the church teaching on marriage as their Catholic expert, and then backed into a mere 10-second quote of Al, making it sound like the church was the big, mean, bad ogre in the situation. And if you listen to the entire context of the interview and Al's statement, it would give you just the opposite impression. It would say that the church was very loving, but the church has a certain teaching on marriage that we've upheld for 2,000 years. And they require the same thing. Let's say if a couple went to the church and said, well, we're living together and we want a blessing for our, a heterosexual couple went to the church and said, we want a blessing for our relationship. The church would not do that because of what a blessing stands for. And so they did something similar with 60 Minutes trying to claim that the reason that Publix down in Florida was leading the charge in the vaccines is because they made a big donation to his campaign. Now, even Democratic leaders who are not fans of DeSantis are coming out and saying that CBS and 60 Minutes really blew it and that it was totally deceptive editing. And here's the response from DeSantis at this press conference. That's why it is so important. For example, when Al did the interview with the local station regarding this story, that they recorded the entire thing on our end. So we had it to play back to let people know what really happened. I did the same thing several years ago when there was deceptive editing in an interview that I did with the local station regarding the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And they took a small piece of what I said and did the same thing and tried to fit it into their agenda to make a point and to make it seem like I was supporting what they were saying when just the opposite was actually true. So here is DeSantis and his full response versus what 60 Minutes. And maybe we'll play the first part, which is the whole thing is about 3 or 4 minutes long, so I can't play it in one sitting. But here is DeSantis's response to 60 Minutes' claim about the play for pay.
So first of all, that, what you're saying is wrong. That's a fake narrative. So first of all, when we did the first pharmacies that had it were CVS and Walgreens, and they had a long-term care mission. So they were going to the long-term care facilities. They got vaccine in the middle of December. They started going to the long-term care facilities the third week of December to do LTCs. So that was their mission. That was very important, and we trusted them to do that. As we got into January, we wanted to expand the distribution points. So, yes, you had the counties. You had some drive-through sites. You had hospitals that were doing a lot. But we wanted to get it into communities more. So we reached out to other retail pharmacies, Publix, Walmart. Obviously, CVS and Walgreens had to finish that mission. And we said, we're gonna use you as soon as you're done with that. For the Publix, they were the first one to raise their hand, say they were ready to go. And you know what? We did it on a trial basis. I had 3 counties. I actually showed up that weekend and talked to seniors across 4 different Publix. How was the experience? Is this good? Should you think this is the way to go? And it was 100% positive, so we expanded it, and then folks liked it. And I can tell you, if you look at a place like Palm Beach County, they were kind of struggling at first in terms of the senior numbers. I went, I met with the county mayor, I met with the administrator, I met with all the folks at Palm Beach County, and I said, here's some of the options. We can do more drive-through sites. We can give more to hospitals. We can do the Publix. We can do this. They calculated that 90% of their seniors live within a mile and a half of a Publix. And they said, we think that would be the easiest thing for our residents. So we did that. And what ended up happening was you had 65 Publix in Palm Beach. Palm Beach is one of the biggest counties, one of the most elderly counties. We've done almost 75% of the seniors in Palm Beach. And the reason is because you had the strong retail footprint. So our way has been multifaceted. It has worked. And we're also now very much expanding CVS and Walgreens now that they've completed the long-term care mission. Yes? And it's wrong. It's wrong. It's a fake narrative. I just disabused you of the narrative, and you don't care about the facts because obviously I laid it out for you in a way that is irrefutable. And so it's clearly not. No, you're wrong. You're wrong.
So critics are blasting the report on a number of levels. First, with the deceptive editing that omitted his explanation, which you just heard. They're also calling out 60 Minutes for, while mentioning the donations of Publix to, for example, DeSantis's campaign, refusing to make any mention of the donations from Publix to key Democrats in the state of Florida. And they're also only talking to his critics and not talking to Florida liberals who are coming to the defense of the governor. So this is another example, a blatant example of media bias, and they are doing whatever they can to make sure they put a particular agenda out there. And the other big issue that Vanessa and I are going to talk about today is they're concentrating on DeSantis And Florida has been doing really well in terms of businesses, getting people vaccinated, kids in school, all these things, supporting teachers. They just gave some money to teachers last week. That was a big announcement for all their hard work. So why are they concentrating on Florida as opposed to New York? There have been some stories about, obviously, Cuomo and, let's see, accuser number 9 now in terms of sexual harassment. But where are the investigative pieces looking at what happened with the nursing homes? You've got a successful vaccination rollout in Florida, the state doing well, their economy is booming in the midst of all of these situations with COVID, okay? And then you have a governor in New York where Broadway has been dark, New York City is just, you know, turned into a shell. Not to mention, most importantly, he lied, his staff lied about the number of people that died in nursing homes. And while all that was going on last summer, he was writing a book. And he was a media darling. And he gave preference to his own family for medical help, including a CNN anchor, Chris Cuomo. But no, let's not cover that. Let's cover a governor in Florida, because the governor is conservative, and he's been doing the opposite of what some of these lefties are insisting it has to continue, wearing masks even when you get fully vaccinated. It's just off the charts, trying to push an agenda and get you to repeatedly believe that anyone who is slightly right of center is a big, bad meanie, when just the opposite is true. More on that coming up on In the News this morning. It is so important, as we always say, to do your homework and to look at things and to try to get the big picture. And when you're ignoring donations from Democrats, and when you're ignoring liberals speaking up, supporting, and Publix reached out to the governor. And they said, wait a minute, we're the ones who reached out to the governor. So where's CBS on this now? Apparently they're distancing themselves from the report that actually has widely been criticized as a major hit piece. And not only that, on the one hand, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, and we'll discuss this in more detail, CBS News has been, of course, going after the state of Georgia, putting out all that misinformation about the election law that was passed, and criticizing the masters for staying in Georgia, while at the same time carrying the masters. Interesting. All the news that's fit to print is the motto of the New York Times, when it really should be, as I say in a chapter of my very first book, Noise, all the news that's fit to twist as they see it, unfortunately. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Catholic Connection 836. Once a week, Vanessa Denha Gomero and I from Epiphany Communications and the Epiphany Radio program here on Ave Maria Radio do a segment called In the News to help you discern what's real and what's not. And we have both been in the news collectively, I think probably 50 years, right, if you think about it, because I was in the secular media. And we're still only 25. I don't understand how that math works.
Yeah, we never were good at math.
No. But, hey, listen, happy Easter, Buona Pasqua to you. But this story we were emailing. Thank you. I was going to ask you how to say it in Chaldean. Beautiful. Say that one more time.
Erech Bricha.
Oh, thank you. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right. So he is risen. He is risen indeed. He is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And we try to help people discern fact from fiction and the truth here on Ave Maria Radio every week. So let's talk about this CBS story. I was mentioning in the two cents, I know you were listening, about what Al and I both experienced. We were both victims of deceptive editing. That's why it's so important, first of all, if you ever do an interview with the media, record the entire thing. And if it's a print story, make sure the questions come in email so you have the entire conversation in context. So we'll, as media relations experts, we'll just put that out there. But secondly, this is pathetic. Now you have Democratic public leaders in Florida saying 60 Minutes purposely deleted information that was given to them and offered to them.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is, T, if he did not distribute the vaccine at the level that he did, finding retail outlets and actually doing a template prototype to see if it works, and then gotten feedback from the seniors, he would have been criticized for not doing that. It's right. Like you can't win with the media. It's like no matter what he does, they're going to go after him. And he was finding the best way to distribute the vaccine to as many people as humanly possible. And Publix came to him and said, you know, let's use my our retail outlet to get these vaccines out, which was a great idea. And instead of saying, hey, this is an example of how to do it in this country, he gets criticized, and they really just changed the whole narrative to make it look like he was doing a pay-to-play deal.
Right.
And this is very scary. And we got to ask, why is the media so bent on slashing this particular governor? I mean, what is it? Is it because people are leaving states like New York, Michigan, and California to go live in places like Florida because they want to live in what America is supposed to represent? I mean, is this a candidate, is this a governor who could possibly be a presidential candidate to unseat Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? I mean, you got to wonder why they go to this extent to change the facts and create their own narrative.
Right, right. And you look at these states, you look at what's happening in Michigan, you look at what's happening in New York, you look at what's happening in California, as you mentioned, and then you see, as you said, for example, did you know there was a sign, someone of our friends told us in Indiana there is a sign that called Gretchen Whitmer the real estate agent of the year for the state of Indiana because people are leaving Michigan to move to other places in addition to Florida and Texas, the state of Indiana. I found that very interesting. But to eliminate information, to do the deceptive editing, but also to eliminate information, they were talking about the donations that Publix made to his campaign, but they also donated to Democrats big time, and that was completely eliminated.
Yeah, exactly. So they don't tell you the entire story. They only tell you part of the story. And that goes to the point that something you shared with our team the other day, our little kind of undercover team of reporters. But who is the reporter who said, you know, getting a balanced story is not important, getting both sides of a story.
That was
not
Lester
important.
Holt from NBC News.
Yeah. So this is
fairness is
today.
Overrated. That's what he said.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, so you're not giving the American people the credit to have the intelligence to look at both sides and make up their own mind, be critical thinkers themselves. You got to tell them what you want them to believe. That is what's happening in this country. And then we have this other narrative, too. We didn't really talk about it offline, but it's only the Republicans who are refusing to get the vaccine. It's only the Republicans that are ruining it for the country because they want to be able to do what's right for their body and all this. So this narrative's going on. Yet there is a story right here in Detroit that, you know, our own mayor of Detroit is worried because COVID infection rates are increasing. Hospitalization is going up in Detroit, while only 21% of residents have been vaccinated in the city of Detroit. And we know that's not a predominantly Republican city.
Mm-hmm.
So this narrative is going on in the country that it's only the big bad Republicans are not getting vaccinated and ruining it from the rest of us from having this pandemic go, you know, get past this pandemic, but yet here is this story about the city of Detroit residents won't get vaccinated.
Right.
So, and that, where's that story on a national level? So there's all these different narratives to paint a picture that is definitely politically slanted, and that's what's going on. The media has proven over and over again on a large scale for the mainstream media, and I'm not saying all reporters. There's really good reporters out there that are trying to do their job and trying to be fair and balanced.
But that's few and far between.
Few and far between.
In our little circle of friends, we have two folks. One is still on the inside. One has left the news business, but just recently. But they're both saying that news is dead. It's gone.
Yeah, it is gone, and there's no. I mean, the fact that you have Lester Holt even publicly saying on television, you know, fairness is overrated. Since when? I mean, isn't that what we were taught in journalism school? Tell both sides, be fair and balanced. I mean, when is that overrated?
And the irony of the whole thing is he's getting an Edward R. Murrow Award. I wonder what Edward R. Murrow, he must be rolling over in his grave 20 times over. Can you even imagine? And he said, you know, we don't need to tell people that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Oh, okay, so you tell us what the facts are. What about births, right? We had CNN in a story last week saying without any attribution, claiming that there is not enough evidence to show what sex a baby is when they are born. Hello. Meanwhile, I just had another grandniece born yesterday, and I saw the pictures, and they put her in a little pink, you know, a little casing, right, the little bassinet that they put the babies in, and everything was in pink, and they had her name up there. Seems like the doctors knew that she was a girl.
Yeah, this is so ridiculous. Okay, so Our physical attributes don't show that, right?
Right, exactly.
So
yeah,
the way God made us, you know, doesn't show that.
But that's where we've gone. So for him to sit there and say we don't have to tell people that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, well, apparently you don't have to tell people whether they're male or female because there's really no evidence for that. We're going to decide what we tell you, and you have to believe it. And
this
if you don't believe it, everybody should be scared.
Yeah. Because they're taking away, these are slow chips away at our freedom. This is what's happening on our country. We don't want you to be critical thinkers. We don't want you to make decisions that are best for your family. We need to control you. This is what this is all about. From a government standpoint, from a political standpoint, from a media standpoint, this is about power and control.
Mm-hmm.
And when they don't want you to have all the facts and all the information at hand to make the best decision that you can make for your family and for your body and for your rights.
What about my body, my choice?
Exactly. Exactly.
What happened to that?
That's gone out the door because that's not part of the narrative.
Well, it will if abortion comes up. It's always going to be about my body, my choice. But they get to decide again when they apply that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and that's
what.
And I'm glad to see even people. I'm glad to see both sides on the political side, Democrats and Republicans, standing up against what CBS just did to the governor of Florida. We need more people because if it's not him, it's you tomorrow. It's going to be a point where, you know, you think you're safe because I'm on the left and I'm on the side that the media likes. Well, there's going to be a day where they're not going to like you either, and they're going to go after you because you're not singing the song they want to sing.
Right. Well, I heard a story this morning about Coke. Coca-Cola, of course, came out, you know, against Georgia because of the decision, the voting law, which has been totally misrepresented in terms of what that voting law actually does. It actually opens up more opportunities for voting compared to liberal states such as New York. But Coke comes out and criticizes Georgia, and yet they get criticized for not doing it quickly enough. Exactly to your point.
Yeah, yeah. And how many people at Coca-Cola really did their research to understand what that voting law is, or did somebody, some lobbyist call them up, or somebody from the political side call them up and say, this is what you need to say? I mean, or what's going on? You know what I mean? Who's doing the research there before they make these public statements?
Well, it's backfiring. Did you hear the new poll that I read in the news? A new poll showing fewer than 4 in 10 Americans support moving the Major League Baseball All-Star Game out of Atlanta. And then there's also this whole thing. This is how ridiculous is it? They're claiming it's racist, right? They're claiming the new voting law is racist. Then they move to Denver. They move the Major League Baseball All-Star Game to Denver. And then they realize that, oh, wait a minute. Now it's coming out that in Denver it's a majority of whites business owners, and yet in Atlanta and Georgia, a majority of the business owners are African Americans. So they're actually hurting the people they claim they're trying to defend.
Yeah. It's because nobody does their research. Nobody is critically thinking about this and strategizing and really digging deep of what's really happening and what's going on. They're making these arbitrary decisions, and it's backfiring. And you know why people backfires? Because the truth always comes out.
Right.
You're
mm-hmm.
not going to hide from the truth. You can hide all you want. You could try to push it under the rug and deny it, but it always comes out. It will always come out. And that's what we have failed to understand in this country.
All right, well, how about the story? You speak of CBS. Now, very interestingly enough, CBS was silent. Yes, you know how when they have a big 60-minute story, the media
It's
all over the media the next day because Monday mornings are slow news days, so they pick up the stories that were held over the weekend. CBS was pretty silent on 60 Minutes because they knew. But see, they just put it out there. They throw it out there to see what sticks.
Yeah.
It's exactly what they do. You know, certain sensational entities do that all the time. So now CBS is also being criticized because they are set to broadcast the Masters, so they're going to make money off the Masters, huge amount of money off the Masters, after encouraging corporations to fight the Georgia voting law.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you have to laugh because it's a level of stupidity. You can't even, like, how do you argue this? How do you defend this? It's such hypocrisy. I mean, it's like a slap in your face, you know, hypocrisy.
As it has every year since 1956, CBS will broadcast a Masters Golf Tournament from Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia, this coming weekend, leading some to accuse a network of hypocrisy after it encouraged companies to fight Georgia's new election law.
But they'll take advertising dollars from those companies,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Late Friday, CBS News publishing a hit piece headlined Three Ways Companies Can Help Fight Georgia's Restrictive New Voting Law. In the piece, the reporter appeared to offer advice on how corporations could put political pressure on Georgia Republicans over the voting reforms. Following criticism of the editorial nature of the writing, CBS quietly changed the article's headline to read, Activists are calling on big companies to challenge new voting laws, and here's what they're asking for. Now, in the meantime, they make no mention of the fact that they're carrying the same network that operates their CBS News division, CBS, you know, they're not mentioning the fact that they're carrying the masters, and they're making money off of advertisers in Georgia.
Yeah, yeah. So they can make money, all the money that they want, on the program and all the advertisers, but let's go after the state. It just doesn't make any sense. And we have to listen, all the listeners, people listening to the show, you have to do your part too and call these people out, whether you do it on social media, whether you email them, or you either write them, you phone them. And of course, how do we have power with our own pocketbook? You know, start boycotting those companies. I mean, it's the only way we're going to get our power back is using our voice in America. As long as we have our freedom that our Constitution has given us, we have to exercise our rights to maintain that freedom.
It's getting to a point, though, where, I mean, how many products, I'm going to be end up like, well, you know, we said this, like you'll be living in the, living in the ever
cave.
Eat a pine cone.
Yeah.
We're
going to That is true, unfortunately. I mean, I can't even keep up anymore.
No, I can't.
You do your best. I mean, there's ones that are so blatant that, you know, have publicly come out and said, if you don't support our views on abortion and supporting Planned Parenthood, that don't come to our retail establishments. You know, you take that message loud and clear and like, okay, gotcha. You know, so those are the companies that are out there that you know. But then, you know, when you start digging deeper and deeper and deeper, it's like, you're right. What do I buy? Where do I shop? Where do I go?
Yeah, but the bottom line is, though, we keep going back to this. You really have to do your homework when you hear a particular story, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have to look at both sides. Just the whole point of the narrative I just told you with the criticizing the Republicans for not getting the vaccines and blaming the Republicans. I mean, there's stories. There was something on PBS the other day saying it's all the Republicans' fault. And I think I said that to you, T. But if you read their reasonings and their reasonings why, they're legitimate. Listen, I don't know the long-term effects. I'm worried about the side effects. I'm worried about my health. I'm worried about my allergies. You know, there wasn't enough research. This came too quickly. I mean, these are all legitimate, you know, reasons for hesitating to take the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if people are purely not taking it because of political reasons, then that is an issue. You know what I mean? You can't be so divisive and saying, oh, the Democrats are pushing this, I'm not going to take it.
Yeah.
But you have to talk to your doctor. Do your research. I mean, it is a gene therapy. You know, I've talked to doctors who are concerned about what this will do to reproductive health of people who are still trying to have children.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gene therapy. Now, for me, that's not an issue. For a 20-something-year-old, that could be an issue if they want to have kids. So I think these are legitimate reasons, but yet the story, the headline reads so differently. Oh, it's the Republicans' fault. But then when you dig deeper into the story and look at the reasons of why they're hesitating to take the vaccine, these are legitimate reasons.
Well, you have a right to ask questions and decide what goes into your own body. And if you want to take it, fine. If you don't want to take it, that should be fine too. And you know the risks on both ends. And this happens with all types of other medications and all types of other vaccines. So you know, even with diseases that are highly contagious, for example, such as the flu. So a lot of people don't like to take the flu vaccine.
Yeah.
We don't see pressure for that. I mean, it's
there's
very,
a lot of vaccines people don't like to take.
Yeah.
There's a lot of parents that don't give their kids the standard vaccines from ages 1 to 5. And, you know, and they're getting waivers in school to keep, you know, and sitting. I'm not saying that's okay. I'm not even being a proponent. I mean, my daughter got her vaccines. My point is, people have to do their research and their due diligence and talk to their physicians and make sure this is good for them, not because the world says they have to do it.
Right. And now they're doing a lot of, and we were chatting about this online with our Inner Circle media friends about the behavior modification that's coming out, that interview that was shared with that health expert on CNN about how she is so upset that people with the vaccines, people who are vaccinated, she says, I'm upset that they're traveling. What?
Why?
Yeah.
So what
yeah.
was the point of getting vaccinated?
And then still making them wear masks. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah.
Okay,
why
we get the vaccine.
Vaccinated?
Right.
What's the point? And this is where we don't have critical thinkers. No one's questioning this. Why are we getting the vaccine? If my life is not going to go back to pre-COVID days, then why get the vaccine?
That's the question I have to ask Meg Meeker. She's coming up, and she's a legitimate physician. She's well-respected. She's not a conspiracy theorist, but she has a lot of concerns about what's going on, and we're going to talk to her next. V, great discussion. Thank you. Never a dull moment. Looks like both of us are not going to be out of a job anytime soon in terms of media criticism. So bottom line is, do your homework. You have to do some work. Do not believe what the media are selling you, especially when it comes to the church.
And speak up
and write them and let them know how you feel. If you're going to not watch them anymore, let them know why. Don't just, ignore them and say, oh, whatever. Let them know why, because when they look at you, they see big fat dollar signs on your forehead. That's important. V, we'll talk next week.
All right,
this is Enha Garmo from Epiphany, the program on Ave Maria Radio and Epiphany Communications. It's 8:53 on a Tuesday. More coming up.
Do you or your church have an art restoration project that needs the skills of a true professional? Look to Ethan Hayes for the premium quality results that you deserve. E.A. Hayes Studio has done excellent work, for example, at Old St. Patrick Church in Ann Arbor and St. Mary's in Pinckney. From statue restorations to high altars to new pieces, you can count on Ethan Hayes for glorious work at affordable rates. To shop and browse previous restoration work, visit eahayesstudio.com. That's eahayesstudio.com.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, on the Sunday after Pascha, both lungs of the church converge at the theme of God's mercy. For the Latin Rite, it is Divine Mercy Sunday. For many Eastern churches, it is the Sunday of Doubting Thomas.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matthew and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Ave Maria Radio. And I want to remind you that we have a full page of resources at AveMariaRadio.net. If you have a question about what the church teaches about the vaccines and information background, and again, you have to make your own decisions, but we have the resources there for you, a number of different articles from medical experts from within and outside the church, the best of the best, and also what the church has to say about the various vaccines. We've put together a whole slew, as I said, of resources on this issue. I'm getting a lot of Facebook messages and emails looking for information, especially regarding church teaching. So go to AveMariaRadio.net, and you'll see the page there, the links right on the home page. Coming up, we have Dr. Meg Meeker talking about a rise in suicidal thoughts and attempts on the part of young people. She's a pediatrician, very concerned about this. And our friend Maureen Ferguson, senior fellow for the Catholic Association, regarding concerns over the so-called Equality Act, which is anything but, and also some rule changes regarding teleabortions, some pretty scary stuff. We'll get a Catholic perspective up next.